welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, folks, it is time, and it is now or never. We're going to get into the Constitution, as I promised. And obviously, I wasn't able to get everything in on Friday. There's, you know, it's hard to actually get into all of the details of what it really takes, what we all need to do at the county level, what we all need to do in getting people educated and invigorated. Reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. And this is a premise I live by. Excuse me. And I'll tell you this, that over, I'll probably say 80% of the people are reasonable. It's just that we're not equally informed. The problem is getting people equally informed. When people realize, as a matter of fact, Aristotle, in his book, and Aristotle was a very smart guy. He may have been off on his sciences, but there was a lot of, let's just say, innovation and evolution in science, that science could go further to disprove his theories, where Newton was able to nail down gravity and those types of things. But one thing he was very smart on was politics, and he wrote a book called Politics. And one of the things, I mean, if you look at who he was rubbing elbows with, these people were an amalgamation of wisdom and knowledge because they were capturing everything. They were analyzing and breaking down. They were creating philosophical views, to me, that were absolutely worthless. But, I mean, it's like today. Listening to Jordan Peterson or anybody else that has these philosophical views. A lot of people love Jordan Peterson, but he's a guy that basically is swimming in his own pool because he doesn't understand. So all of his education, which is great, he's a very smart guy, but all of his education was tainted because it was all a part of the deep state. He's not American. He's never learned the Constitution, and he doesn't understand the U.S. government. So every time I hear him talk, it's kind of like, even when I hear Americans, or supposedly these really wise people, and every time I say this, every time I go after, or I'm not going after, just to be clear, every time people perceive I'm going after Ron Paul or Rand Paul, they just think, you know, I'm the devil incarnate. And that's not the truth. All I'm doing is I'm pointing out that Ron Paul and his education on the Constitution and the framers is flawed. There's no way what he's talking about is, you know, like we shouldn't be aggressive. We shouldn't have, you know, I mean, it's one thing. You hear me talking about some things that are parallel to his, like we shouldn't be engaged in war, but we have a right to protect our commerce, and we need, and this is what, it's right there in the Constitution, that we are to have a Navy to do so. Now, because of our Navy and because of our commerce, the whole world enjoys the free flow of commerce on our back. And so I've always been an advocate, long before anybody else had said this, that they should be paying us to keep the seas free. Because look what happens when we allow Russia or China to do it. Next thing you know, you got pirates and all sorts of things. Or when we have an area like the Persian Gulf. This is a prime area where we have pirates. But I digress. The point is that when these people talk about the Constitution and people come back and they go, oh, yes, I've come from the mountain of the, you know, and talked to the bush of fire. I'm sorry. They're wrong. Now, sometimes they get it right, but for the most part, every time I really look at what they're saying, you know, on principles, they're in the right park, 9 times out of 10, maybe. But when they start actually using justifications and they start talking about the framers, I'm sorry. You know, when they said that our government was not to have alliances and those types of things, yes, we were to. But we weren't to actually create alliances for warfare. We weren't to actually, our alliances were for free trade. And we were not supposed to be engaging in free trade with nations that were enemy or hostile to us or hostile to our principles, which is why we didn't kowtow to the Ottoman Empire, which is why Thomas Jefferson sent the Marines and the Navy out into the Mediterranean, into Tripoli. It wasn't because we had a passive role. Not at all. And it doesn't jive with what Ron Paul says. And so, you know, you can always, and I'll give him this. I'll give him and Rand Paul this. You know, when you're standing in front of a microphone, you don't have the luxury of being able to talk for several minutes to really nail down the head on, you know, what is, you know, the accurate truth, so forth and so on. And maybe they do know. And as a matter of fact, I'm sure that if I sat down and talked to them, we would probably agree on most everything. At least I would probably agree with most of the things that they talk about. But the question is, would they agree with me? And that, to me, is the real test. Because if you're not talking in this, and I hate to say it this way, folks, if you're not using the paradigms that James Madison, Iredell, Nicholas, Wilson, all of these men that were the framers of the Constitution, if you're not speaking in their paradigm and you don't see their paradigm, then we need to get you equally informed. But they're not the problem. We're the problem because we listen to these guys instead of learning for ourselves and making our own decisions. We continue to be the problem as long as we take other people's words for it. I tell you all the time, don't take my word for it. I read all the time. Again, I'm not the best reader. I'm not the best entertainer. That's not my job. I believe that all I have to do is empower you, and you'll start getting it. And over time, as a matter of fact, many of the people I work with, you know, they challenge me, and I grow from that, because sometimes I have to learn how to say it differently so that somebody else understands it. Now, I'm going to tell you, I wasn't firing on all cylinders back in the 80s when I started reading the Constitution, when I started really caring about this. It took me a long time to get here. I had to stumble through the, you know, at that point in time in the 80s, the concept of an Article 5 convention. I had to stumble through the friends of the Article 5 convention of the 90s and go, you know what? These guys, they're not out for actually improving things. They are seeking to create some kind of control. And that started unraveling, or I should say, I started understanding this in the 2017 timeframe. I actually had and made a good friend within the Article 5 Convention, or the Convention of States group, where he started giving me information that really, really helped me understand and place context to what they're doing and how they don't even care. They don't care about really enforcing the Constitution. Here is a group of men that are seeking to urinate on our Constitution, just like a dog marking his territory. These people believe that, you know, they're smart enough, they're so proudful that they believe that they can create an amendment. Not even the great men that were our framers felt that they could do that. As a matter of fact, that's why when they were heading into the convention, they had very specific ideas and concepts that they put on the table, very specifically what needed to be done. And in so doing, they realized that the 13 articles of the Articles of Confederation were all screwed up, and that the federal government needed a significant change. And to me, it was brilliant. It was brilliant. It was so brilliant because it wasn't done by them. All of them attested, and even all of Congress attested in the first congressional meeting, that they recognized that the divine hand of providence had blessed them with this Constitution, which is why they asked George Washington to proclaim a day of thanks, Thanksgiving, our America's first Thanksgiving was to thank, and this is coming up, folks, and you're going to hear me read that proclamation on the day before Thanksgiving. And I would ask you to consider reading it to your family. Understand what this nation should be doing, because we need to continue to recognize the divine hand of providence and the blessings that our Creator has given us in giving us this thing, this experiment that has proven itself. It has proven itself to be the greatest government, the greatest government. It has only gone wrong because we've allowed nefarious men and our illiteracy to send us in this direction. So again, coming back around, we are the problems. We need to heal ourselves and we need to get right. We need to start understanding the Constitution, which is why we go through this. So remember, reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. And this is why when we dive into the Constitution, we want to help you really understand what the Constitution means and why they, you know, why these lines are in there. This is why we go through the ratification debates. And we also want to point out how the Constitution is being violated. And so when we come back, we're going to get into the Constitution right where we left off. And so I don't want to bleed into the upcoming promos like I have in the last couple of episodes and even my ending or my finale. So anywho, we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so let me actually, before we dive into Article 5, we just wrapped up Article 4. And one of the things, as I was saying, reasonable people, equal informed, seldom disagree. And I don't know many people that don't enjoy learning as long as it's kind of fun, or they see some, you know, this is opening doors. It's like, wow, I'm exploring into something, or there's this huge benefit. I go down this path of learning this and, you know, I make lots of money, or I'll be able to do all sorts of things for myself, or I'll be able to do this, or, you know, be a, you know, provide art or vision, folks. there's nothing cooler and there's nothing funner than liberty and learning about liberty by the framers and learning how the divine hand of providence, our creator, wanted us to be able to live, to enjoy life. Look at the type of life we've enjoyed over the past 200 plus years in America. Come on, look. Look at the fun we used to have. Now, see, when you do it that way, it's just like, I don't know. But now let's place the contrast. Look at the fun we didn't have living our own lives and being able to attend to the things that we wanted to attend to during COVID. Oh, okay, well, now that's a lot different. Just to be clear, everything that has been inflicted upon us was unconstitutionally done. We are living with tyranny. And if you want to live and enjoy life and you want to have liberty, then learning about this can be really cool because now you can actually create the arguments and prove that they have no power to do these things. And if you want to, if there's not, I'll tell you what, what's more cooler, what is better than actually being able to shut down the communist argument and the progressives who have done everything they can to destroy your individual liberty and your individual sovereignty and taking it all back. Isn't that cool? Wouldn't that, I mean, giving that to your grandchildren and your great and our posterity, be well beyond generations and generations. We live at a time where we can put this country back onto its tracks that will propel this republic and the world for thousands of years. And I mean that because we have the ability to basically break up the OPEC cartel. We have the ability to break up all of this crap that we're living with. The only reason these factions exist is because we have withheld the truth of the Constitution and withheld the Constitution from the people of the world. Not the leaders of the world, but the people of the world. The people of the world deserve liberty. They deserve the opportunity to be able to choose and learn for themselves and make the best decisions for themselves. And I'm telling you, there's no doubt in my mind, our Creator wants that. Because the only way they can learn about Him in many of these countries is through liberty, where the flow of information can flow freely into their laps and into their homes so that they can start discovering His truths. How cool would that be? How awesome would that... I mean, how would that make you feel, being a part of that, learning what it takes to do that? That's huge. That's why this is the only show that goes through the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions of what it takes to do this. And, as you know, this show is also sponsored by republicreview.org. I got it in. Okay, so, Article 5. Article 5... is causing so much contention. This one part of the Constitution and its perversion that is being perpetuated by supposedly conservatives. The people that are really driving this, again, as I kind of, before we went into the break, the people that are driving this are those people who really, they just want to urinate on our Constitution. And they're okay with destroying it. This balanced budget amendment will destroy our Constitution, and they don't care. Oh, but it sounds so good, folks. When you create a balanced budget amendment, you have obliterated the enumeration and the restrictive powers of those enumerations. In other words, when you say, well, you can spend 80% of your revenue, 80% of your revenue on whatever you want, we just don't want to make sure you don't. That means all they've got to do is start taxing us more and be able to just spend 80% on things they have no authority to spend. Conversely, if we comply to the Constitution, say you must follow the Constitution, all spending on things that are not enumerated, education, health care, I can go on and on and on. How much money would the government actually be spending out of the trillions of dollars it brings in taxes? A fraction. If we took the right foreign policies, then, you know, even our defenses would not be making as much money. Or I should say, they're not going to be taking as much money if we followed the principles of the Constitution. Our cost of government, I mean, yeah, there's going to be a lot of people that are laid off. There's a lot of people whose retirements are illegitimate. We're going to have to figure out how to fix that. But living on a golden spoon retirement by, you know, coming out of government, and as a matter of fact, this is why we actually have to get to the bottom of a lot of the problems, because there are plenty of people who have money in the bank that it's all corrupt money. It was all, they've defrauded the American people in being able to have that money. They don't want to hear this. I'm telling you, I'm putting targets all over myself when I'm telling you that the globalists that believe that America owes them $30 trillion, that they're all laughing at us because we really believe we owe them that. We don't. Our government has no authority to take that money. Those who take that money are doing so in fraud. You cannot defraud the people by assuming powers you don't have. In other words, yeah, the government has the, you know, good faith and confidence of the American people, and they have the authority to take on loans, or they have the authority to spend money, but they can only do so with regards to the enumerated power. So every country out there that is cooperating with America in giving us money to spend on vaccines for the world and all of these things, they're all duping you and the world in thinking that, you know, this is all to destroy America. That's what they're telling everybody in these other countries. We're going to be destroyed because we're going to foreclose on them, and we're going to step in, and they're going to surrender to us because they believe it's all legitimate. And they may really believe it's legitimate. But many of them, that many in the darker, deeper circles all know it's not. This is huge, folks. And why isn't this going viral? They're suppressing this. I know more and more people are listening. And I know more and more people are actually, you know, probably you're probably having a hard time sleeping. Fact of the matter is, when we start really looking at what to do, it's like that pimple on the end of the nose of the person you're talking at. You can't even stop looking away from it. And so let's actually get into the Convention of States. Let's get into the Article 5. Now, to be clear, and I just want to help you understand, because we've gone through this, that the intent behind Article 5 and the amendment of the Constitution was very limited for three purposes. If there was a problem, a deficit, if there was something that wasn't working or something that was a conflict with the fundamental principles of life, the fundamental principles of God's law, then the Constitution required an amendment. Now, there are two paths to an amendment, by the way. There's the path of Congress and there's the path by the states. Now, the second reason for an amendment is to actually grant or delegate power to the federal government. In other words, we want them to be able to build roads, so we need to amend the Constitution so that they have the authority to build certain types of roads, interstates, what have you. Then we need to amend the Constitution for them to do this. This is why we go through Madison, Monroe, and Jackson's vetoes of these department bills, or I should say transportation bills, that Congress tried to assume the authority that they could actually build highways and waterways for and in between the states. They couldn't, and so that's why they were vetoed. Now, the third reason for an amendment to the Constitution is to take away powers, to take away something from the federal government, a power that's already delegated. Let's say shipyards. They have the power and authority to possess and operate shipyards. Well, if we took that away, then they couldn't do that anymore. Let's say, you know, we don't need to do that. We've got, the states can do that well enough. Now, did they mean shipyards in naval bases? Well, that's something different. So anyway, their ability to own ports and control ports like the Port of Los Angeles and opening that up for the bid of China was absolutely repugnant. They have no authority to even own that. So with that, we're going to go into these two promos, and when we come back, we're going to get into the only reason why the Article 5 convention would be even floated out there. And we'll be right back with that. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so now let's look at the two paths, because we just identified the three reasons why an amendment is necessary. Now, going through Congress, the only way an amendment to the Constitution would occur is if it actually dealt with those three issues: a deficit or deficiency, problem with the Constitution, a granting of power, or a removal of power. And when I say power, I don't mean just power, role, responsibility, power, property, what have you. So in other words, granting something or taking something away. The fourth thing that can happen in a convention cannot happen through through a amendment process through Congress. So to be clear, what we want to do, if we wanted to destroy or actually open up a can of worms that would actually open up the door to destroying our Constitution, would be a convention. How is that? Because I've already told you with Article 3 that the federal government has full jurisdiction over all things arising under this Constitution. They can pull in an Article 5 constitutional convention, and they can dictate what and how they can do what they do and so forth. In other words, they would seize control. The problem, and if they do that and they change for the amendment process, now get this, What state in the union requires a two-thirds majority of the counties to amend their constitution? Not one. Not one. I have yet to find any state that doesn't require anything but a democracy to amend the constitution. So what's to say that Congress comes along and dictates that a democracy will be how this new amendments or changes to the Constitution will be ratified, not by a convention, not by the state legislators, but by the people directly in a democratic form? And nobody's talking about this crap. Nobody talks about, you know, the evils that the federal government could pull out their butts. Oh, well, it won't happen underneath. Are you kidding me? I am telling you that the Supreme Court is not out for what is right. Do you think the fact that they actually overturned Roe v. Wade in election year was just a miracle? They could have done this sooner. Why didn't they? They could have done it in Biden's first year of administration, because Trump's last appointment was done before Biden took office. How come they waited till this year? Ah, to throw some fuel on the fire. I'm here to tell you, when you look at some of the cases and their rulings, I am appalled. They're actually suppressing your right, your constitutional right of your First Amendment petition. So, to be clear, the one thing that will happen in a constitutional convention is this beautiful idea of making it completely better. And boy, will they ruin it. And boy, will they come out and they will dictate, because Congress and the Supreme Court will force it down our throats to go to a Democratic vote. And so I'm here to tell you that it is not just a waste of time, it is an evil process. And that the one amendment, because let's be clear, if there's such a good amendment, if they believe a balanced budget amendment is something that needs to be done, then flip that. Because how did the 17th Amendment get passed? A bad amendment, but it got passed through the states, and it was the states that requested it. Did you know that? Almost every amendment that we have, the 11th Amendment, the first 10 amendments, other than the 12th Amendment and possibly, well, the 14th Amendment, but most all amendments were literally driven by the states, most all of them, especially, you know, the suffrage, women's suffrage, those types of things. So why is it that we can't actually vet and act? Because they don't want to open it up. They don't want you. This is why the convention state folks really just say, we're not coming in with any specified language of an amendment. We kind of want to leave it open for the convention to mold it through and to go through all of this. And I'm going, folks, if you buy that, then I got a bridge to sell you in New York. I got several bridges to sell you in all across the country and in the world. What if you want real estate, I'll sell it to you. Because they are lying. Because I'm telling you right now, if you pass a balanced budget amendment, you will destroy the enumerated limitations and the whole concept of our Constitution. That one amendment is that evil. And so, as we look at this, now I'm going to read this, because there is a part of the Constitution that is being violated today, and there are seven states that are living under tyranny that they don't even understand. The Congress, when two-thirds of both houses shall deem it necessary, shall propose amendments to this Constitution, or on the application of the legislatures of two-thirds of the several states, shall call a convention for proposing amendments, which in either case shall be valid to all intents and purposes as part of this Constitution when ratified. And see, this is where they say, when ratified by the legislatures of 3/4 of the several states or by conventions in 3/4 thereof, as the one or the other mode of ratification may be proposed by the Congress. It didn't say must, shall. It said may. And I'm here to tell you that all they have to do is say, nope, we're going to use this as a democratic process and we're going to put it to the people. It says we the people on the beginning, because if you can pervert the concept of what we the people means, which makes it basically tells us that this Constitution is the people's Constitution when it's not. Anybody that tells me that the Constitution was written for and by the people, they have been listening to the show, and they've never read what the framers have said about this Constitution. The we the people, as I said in the very beginning, was a style change to what the Constitution and the intent of the Constitution was for simplicity purposes. Because what it actually said before, and this was a final change, like literally a day before or 2 days before the Constitution was printed, agreed upon, and signed. It stated, we the people of, and then they listed the states, we the people of the state of Connecticut, we the people of the state of Delaware, we the people of the state of blah, 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 blah. In other words, they listed out all the 13 states because they recognized that each state was its own sovereign, and the people of that state were sovereigns separately, yet equal in this union to all the other states. Ah, there's that separate but equal. Ah, or equal footing. These are doctrines that are within the Constitution. And I'm just telling you, when they came out with it in a racial form, then that was repugnant, because the Constitution has no enumerated power over race, over gender, over sexual orientation, over housing, over all of these different things. But the concept of separate sovereign states and the separate sovereign people of each of these states in the Union are to have equal kind of helps really shine the light on how states, as they started joining the Union, lost some of their equality. And these are the states on the West. And some of the states, like California, Washington, and Oregon, are kowtowing to. They might as well just surrender their states to the federal government. Ah, but they're not done yet. They're not done damaging America. Well, at least those who are in control, like Inslee, Brown, and Newsom. Even Nevada is going down that path. Even Colorado. We're going to see that most all of these states, unless you start helping people understand this Constitution, the enumeration, this power of attorney, this limited power of attorney that we have created and delegated to the federal government. When I say we, the states, the framers, our forefathers. Anyway, so just to be clear here, everything that I kind of set this all up really plays out perfectly, that they're telling you how it's to be ratified or maybe proposed by the Congress, right? So I'll go through this. When ratified by the legislatures of 3/4 of the several states or by conventions in 3/4 thereof, as one or the other mode may be proposed. In other words, those two modes of 3/4 of the states or of the convention of the state legislatures or of conventions, as may be proposed, Congress could propose something completely different, and they will. And they will. Now, when we come back, there's this one little part of Article 5 that nobody even understands, and we have an article on our Constitutional Articles page about rescinding the 17th Amendment. And this is all about the Amendment Protection Clauses. There were two clauses in the Constitution that were protected that could never be changed by an amendment. So we'll be right back after these two promos. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so the Amendment Protection Clause, and nobody talks about this, and there's a reason why, is because when you really look at this, this really helps understand how the framers understood in writing Article 5 that there were some things that would have made it very susceptible to a real problem. And the real problem was that if after the Constitution was ratified, there were enough southern states and enough people, because slavery, so people that want to say slavery was ingrained and protected in this Constitution, absolutely not. And as a matter of fact, this one clause proves this, and I fail to mention this too often, but the fact of the matter is they made it so that no amendment could be made that would remove or to take away the closing down of the slave trade in 1808. And so that's what this first part of this Amendment Protection Clause does. The second part of the Amendment Protection Clause actually protects the sovereignty of the states. They realized that if the federal government somehow washed away the sovereignty of the states and their separate representation, their separate representation in the Senate. Now, when I say separate representation, you have the people of the states represented in the House of Representatives. This is why, when it comes down to a conflict, which we went through with the Electoral College, and the House of Representatives, the people's representatives are to vote, it goes by delegation. In other words, Wyoming, South Dakota, Montana, I think Montana gets two now, so North Dakota, and other states that only have one representative, with only one representative, their vote is equal in casting a vote for the president. In other words, California, that has how many? You know, how many representatives? 40? I don't know. I have to go look at it. But the fact is that they have more representatives than most all of these states that, you know, if you collected all of these single states together. they understood that the sovereignty of the state was this whole concept of separate but equal states was a divine order. So that one state, even though it may be more populated, this goes to the heart of this issue. When you read the ratification debates, and I don't get into these parts of the ratification debates, when they actually talk about population centers and how, you know, protecting the minority, when they talk about protecting the minority, they're talking about protecting the states that have lesser population, the counties that have lesser population, and the people in those counties, the people in those states, because tyranny by the majority was an absolute repugnant and evil thing in the eyes of the framers, because historically, it is proven that that's what destroys a republic. So, when we look at the second part of this clause, the second part of this clause is to preserve those states that are possibly, this an amendment could be passed that would take away the Senate's, or I should say the state legislature's, representation in the Senate, their equal suffrage in that Senate. And so this is how the clauses go. Provided, this is the last part of the Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution, provided that no amendment which may be made prior to the year 1808 shall in any manner affect the first and fourth clauses in the ninth section of the first article, which is what I just told you. This is where they shut down the importation of slaves into America. Now, I'm telling you, based on that, the fact that that was there, and that all slaves coming into this whole concept of importing slaves into America must end by 1808. This was the firewall, and this was the design by the divine hand of providence of ending slavery. Because based on the design of the Constitution, new states coming into the Union would have their own self-destiny. They would choose for themselves what they would want to do. And no states coming into the Union, other than a few, very few, because as we looked at it, I don't believe Arkansas had came into the Union yet. They may have, and I'm not sure if they were a slave state. But Missouri didn't want to be a slave state. And even though you're going to be told by historians that it does, if you read into it, you'll realize that it wasn't. It was only the affluent people. The reason why Missouri, basically, these affluent people appealed to and used money to buy the federal government's decision to enforce and force slavery upon all the southern states, upon all of the southern states, below a certain latitude, the Missouri Compromise was a huge violation of the Constitution. And so this is where government basically started going down this path of actually saying, hey, you don't have a free choice anymore, states. This was where the federal government began to start turning its back on these constitutional principles that were established by our Creator. And so the last part of this says, and that no state without its consent shall be deprived of its equal suffrage in the Senate. So if you pass an amendment that says that the appointment process of senators will no longer be done by the state legislatures, that it'll be done by the people. If you pass an amendment like that, then each state must give its consent before that state will be deprived or will lose and surrender its equal suffrage in the Senate. That's what it says, that no state without its consent shall be deprived of its equal suffrage in the Senate, because they knew that even if an amendment passed, that there would be in America, there are seven states that did not give its consent. Utah is one of them. Utah actually is one of the last states that rejected it. The other six states have never given their consent. I believe Florida and Georgia, I believe. I can pull up the list, but it's in my article. If you read my rescinding the 17th Amendment, it is in my article, because actually in 2010, the buffoon that happens to be the president, you know, actually poked at the state legislature because he was vice president at the time. And he goes, I can't believe that Delaware actually rejected the 17th Amendment. That's a beautiful amendment. We need to, we need to reject or rescind our rejection and formally ratify that so that we're counted as the ratification, that we ratified that. He actually got the federal government and the state of Delaware to go down this path of formally changing their position on the 17th Amendment. Guess what, folks? That's the first time it's ever happened in the history of this republic. The 14th Amendment, which was heavily contested, you know, in different ways, and later on the northern states that saw, they didn't like the idea that the northern states. So hold on here. Let me back up, because let's place context to this. Go look at the 13th Amendment. How many states ratified the 13th Amendment? Were any of the southern states a part of the ratification of the 13th Amendment? No, because they weren't in the Union, because they seceded. Anybody that challenges the veracity of the 14th Amendment must also challenge the veracity of the 13th that we know of, the what we call the 13th Amendment today, the ending of slavery. And so, bottom line, you can't have it one way and then have it another way. So all southern states were technically not able to unless they were coming back into the Union. And so that's why they actually ratified the amendment by the northern states first, and then any state coming in must come in on the basis of ratification. Because as you look at it, the 14th Amendment was fully ratified by the northern states. And then when the northern states said, well, we don't think that's fair. Well, I don't understand why or what their argument was. But bottom line, they seceded. When a state secedes, coming into the Union is left to Congress to admit them. Remember, we already went through this in Article 4, that Congress has the power that may admit new states. Well, these old states had to become new states again. And technically, when you look at Georgia, when you look at South Carolina, when you look at them becoming a owner or principal, you know, partaker in the Constitution, their establishments should be the days they came back in the Union. In other words, let's just say, to help promote constitutionalism, we wanted every state to actually celebrate its birthday. Well, if you look at Georgia and the Carolinas and so forth, all of those states that actually seceded from the Union, all of them would have to celebrate their birthday on the day they were allowed back into the Union, because they actually left the Union for a period of time. They did secede. They weren't a part of the federal government, and they created their own government to move forward. And they had the constitutional, and I'm telling you, folks, they had the constitutional standing and authority to do so. And they also had the constitutional authority to petition to come back in. And I'll tell you, the 14th Amendment was principal in letting them come back in. And we can talk about that when we get to the 14th Amendment. With that, folks, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.